It's a gray, dismal, rainy day in northern England. What a perfect time to visit that bastion of Gothic girlhood where the Bronte sisters lived, wrote, repressed their emotions, and most of them died. Haworth is the ideal location for romantics who've read and loved Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre, Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, or Anne Bronte's Tenant of Wildfell Hall. I am a Bronte nut, and dreaming of the wild and passionate character of Heathcliff, I arrive in front of the old Bronte homestead. I'm immediately swept back 150 years in time. It's Sunday, and in front of the old stone church where the Bronte's austere father, Reverend Patrick Bronte, presided, there's a local band accompanying a modern-day preacher. I can picture the three little girls standing there, enthralled. The parishioners look down at their well-worn songbooks, and they begin to sing. Their voice is wafted over the graveyard that the girls walk through every day.
I see around me tombstones gray, stretching their shadows far away. Beneath the turf my footsteps tread, lie low and lone the silent dead.
It's these tombstones that fuel the girls' imagination, offering up character names and telling tales of infant mortality, typhoid, and personal tragedy. The Bronte home, otherwise known as the parsonage, is open to tourists. Inside, everything has been preserved intact. There's the piano the girls played, the dining room table which Emily, Charlotte, and Anne circled as they read and critiqued each other's writing at night. I remember the impact the house had on Emily.
There is a spot mid barren hills where winter's howls and driving rain, but if the dreary tempest chills, there is a light that warms again. The house is old, the trees are bare, and moonless bends the misty dome. But what on earth is half so dear, so longed for, as the hearth of home?
I sigh at the sofa where Emily died, concealing her tuberculosis until hours before her demise. And there's the back kitchen, which Charlotte described nostalgically in a letter to Emily in 1843.
I should like to be cutting up the hash, and you standing by, watching that I put enough flour and not too much pepper, and above all that I save the best pieces of the leg of mutton for tiger and keeper. The first of which personages would be jumping about the dish and carving knife, and the latter standing like a devouring flame on the kitchen floor. To complete the picture, Tabby blowing the fire in order to boil the potatoes to a sort of vegetable glue.
We visit Charlotte's room with her tiny, delicate dresses, mittens, and boots. Perhaps the greatest thrill is looking at the astounding books the girls wrote as children. They're up to an inch and a half tall, covered with thousands and thousands of words and handwriting so minuscule that the girls almost went blind from creating them. As we go through the parsonage, we learn about the other Bronte, Brother Branwell, an artist, poet, and consummate sufferer, who, by the way, has lately garnered quite a fan club of his own. Branwell bucked convention and slipped into a dissolute life of alcohol and opium. We exit the house and visit his nearby watering hole. The locals don't like to speak ill of the Brontes, but the pub manager does give us a hint of what went on back in those Victorian days.
We're in the Black Bull pub in Haworth. We're next to the parsonage, and it's here that Branwell Bronte spent some of his darkest hours. He would often be among the last customers to go home in the wee hours.
By now, the Sunday service has ended, and we enter the dark, dank church. A group is gathered in sad silence near the main altar, and a plaque informs us that this is where Charlotte and Emily are buried under the flagstone. Because we've arrived on a Sunday, it's hard to find anyone to speak about the Brontes, but I did manage to get Robert Barnard, chairman of the Bronte Society, on the phone. He has a theory about why there's still so much interest in the Brontes after 150 years.
Oh, I think the novels touch a chord in people. They are romantic. They are gothic. My mother-in-law summed it up when she said every woman should have a Heathcliff in her life. She meant that a passion of that sort, an overmastering passion between two people, is something that everybody should have experienced.
What do people respond to most when they come to Howard? What gets the most emotional response?
I think it is the parsonage. I hear people coming out of one or other of the rooms and they say, this is just so incredible. It really is what they'd always imagined the house to be like.
The town of Haworth still has the original shops, the cobblestone streets, and the school building where Charlotte taught. On the outskirts of the city are bridges, castles, and buildings that inspire the settings in many of the Bronte novels. But there's nothing quite like taking off your shoes and running through the moors that Emily loved so well.
The moors seen at a distance, broken into cool, dusky dells, but close by, great swells of long grass undulating in waves to the breeze, and woods and sounding water, and the whole world awake and wild with joy.
This is Judy Fine in Literary Heaven in Haworth for The Savvy Traveler.